Good afternoon. I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 143rd edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a weekly half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During this show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. Today, my guest is Sofia Aldignin, who is originally from Buenos Aires, Argentina. She left home at 23 and traveled and lived around the world in Costa Rica, Mexico, New Zealand, and parts of Asia. She's a photographer and a documentary filmmaker who's been living and working in South Portland with her husband and young son since 2014. Welcome to New Mainers Speak, Sofia.
Thank you.
So, can we start with your family? Can you tell us a little bit about your family? You were the third of four children growing up on the outskirts of Buenos Aires with a father who was an auditor and business advisor and a stay-at-home mom. What kinds of things did your family do for fun?
So growing up in Buenos Aires is, you know, you grow up in the city, but the nice thing about Buenos Aires is that you have the river. So we spent a lot of time in the river and, you know, we just did normal things like other kids, just like go biking or play in the streets. And we were lucky we had a swimming pool. So we spent a lot of time in the summertime at this swimming pool.
In December, in the summertime, right?
Yeah. Summers are longer there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're longer everywhere than in Maine.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
How about soccer? Big soccer family?
Yes, yeah. So I grew. I had three brothers, so pretty much I played soccer my whole childhood. Yeah, I wasn't like a big fan of playing with dolls. I always play soccer.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. What would your family have done on a typical Sunday?
So Sundays are pretty special back home because part of our culture is a Sunday barbecue culture. So a typical Sunday, it will be all the family will get together and we'll have a big barbecue. So probably my father will start the grill, you know, around 11 and, you know, we'll eat around 2 or 3 and, you know, we'll just play with your cousins or with your brothers and, yeah, you just hang out outside and then you actually watch football, soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when you say your family, do you mean extended family?
Yes. So sometimes it will be just my grandparents and sometimes maybe my cousins or maybe just us. But yeah, usually Sundays are barbecue and then follow up with soccer.
And do you try to mimic that here at all?
No. Not really.
Is there anywhere to get good barbecue here in your Argentinian opinion?
Yes, I think Elsmer, you know, in South Portland, they do a pretty good job. I'm actually I don't eat meat anymore. But yeah, I think Elsmer, they do a good job and they also have that open grill style that they have back home.
Yeah, kind of a community center. So it sounds like you had a lot of freedom to play in the neighborhood with your brothers as you grew up in the city. Tell us about what makes Buenos Aires great, in your opinion.
So, you know, Buenos Aires is such a big city that I feel is so many different things that could make Buenos Aires great. In my opinion, I think if you go to Buenos Aires, you'll have the people there are super friendly and there is a big culture for, you know, friendship and getting together and being outside. And it's something that is hard to describe. If you live there, you visit, you'll get a sense. What I mean is a very, you know,
Social.
But, you know, and also what I really like about Buenos Aires is, you know, you have all these different towns or neighborhoods, and I really love the small shops there, you know, like almost take you back in time where you can go to this shop to get the bread and then go to the next shop and get your fruit and veggies and then go to the next shop and get your cookies. And I think I really, really like that about it.
It's kind of old world, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's almost like you go to some neighborhoods and you feel like you're in somewhere else. And then you go downtown and it's more modern or more European. And then you get a little bit out of the city and, you know, it's... You find more of the bush and the river, and yeah, it's a very fun city, and it's very artistic. So if you're into music or doing stuff outside, it's a fun city.
Yeah, and you mentioned to me the other day, which I've thought about since then, in Argentina, there's one city everyone goes to, and that's Buenos Aires. Unlike the United States, you know, you might gravitate to L.A., you might go to New York City or whatever. That's really a different orientation. What size is Argentina? Is there a comparable in the United States of a area? Do you know about similar sized?
Like in terms of people or like?
Area. Nah, that's all right. I don't know either. Sometimes I look that up as I go and I just realize it. It's kind of fun to place it sometimes. I guess Azerbaijan's the same size as Maine.
It's like, it could be like almost like just the West Coast, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. Argentina is like pretty long and skinny. So the United States is more like, it's more wide. So it could be just only, for example, the East Coast, only the West Coast.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So how old were you when you were introduced to photography?
So I think, like, nobody really introduced me to photography. It was something that I started being curious about. And, you know, when I think about it, I remember my father always had, like, a film camera or, you know, a camera. And I was always, like, you know, when I see... I remember watching some of the films that he took when we were kids. And I think I was always, like, pretty keen to be on the other side of the camera.
Uh-huh.
But I think I was just curious, and I really liked the fact that you just could create something. I went to a school that it wasn't too artistic. So I think that was something that I was craving in my life. And when I went to school, I went for business and economics. So on my first year of school, I really felt the need that I need to do something else. So I actually started reaching to some people that were already working as photographers. And I remember I spent half day in somebody else's studio. And I really actually really liked it. So my father helped me to buy my first camera. And I actually joined school. But for photography as well. But at that time I had film camera. I remember just only some people will have digital cameras. And yeah, I just really like it. And then from there, it was something that always has been in my life. Yeah.
Yeah, I really enjoyed looking at your work on your website.
Thank you.
It's one thing to meet an artist, and then it's another thing to get to see their work, right?
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll tell people later in the show, and I already linked to it on my Facebook page in case people want to look while they listen to the show. But can you tell them your website for people who are interested in looking you up?
Yeah, my website is sofiaaldinho.com.
That's SOFIA.com. All right. Did you have anybody that was a particularly important mentor to you along the way in your documentary filmmaking or your photography?
Not really. I think for me, always been important to, along the way, to either take a class or join a course. And I feel like that's where I usually find people that will mentor me.
And you studied at SALT.
Yes.
The SALT Institute,
yes,
right?
Yes.
What was that like?
It was awesome. It was like when we first moved to Maine, that was something that I really wanted to do. And it was such a great experience. It was amazing. And yeah, I had a great teacher there that, yeah, it was a great experience. It was so great. I love salt.
I got to see some of the work you produced while you were there on your website in a little town in Maine that was the last of all the operators and switchboards, right?
Yes.
That was just something I didn't know. It was one of those sweet things that comes to you through someone's creative work like that.
Yes, I know. When I find out about this, I was like, oh my God, this is so unique and awesome. I was like, I need to do a story about this. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite documentary filmmaker?
I think there is so many out there these days. And, you know, with the whole Instagram thing that you can actually reach just so many people. But I think, so Lucy Walker, she's a filmmaker. And yeah, I think I really like her work. And I think I admire her as well because she, you know, she produced pretty big films. And then Amy, Lucy Waters, she's from England, but Amy Townsend, she's from the US. I think she lives in New York State. And her work is pretty similar of the kind of work that I like to do. So yeah, I really like her work, and she does pretty good work.
Great.
Yeah, pretty good
stuff. I'll look them up. That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
And it's a field where women really can thrive too, isn't it? The storytelling and creativity. And
Yes. I don't know why I'm really drawn to, you know, woman documentary. I think it's an inspiration for myself, maybe because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
Have been that all makes my sense. Life. Yeah.
So your adult life has been lived in 5 different regions of the world, and I think that's kind of unusual. I imagine that has really informed your worldview as well as your work along the way. What do you think you've learned from living all over the world that you wish other people could know about?
So I think there is so much to learn when you actually leave your hometown and travel. But I think it's one thing I can think about is, you know, growing up in Argentina and Buenos Aires, you know, I would think about Asia and I'd be like, oh my God, that's so far away and it's on the other side of the world and people are so different there, you know. And then once you get there, then you are like, oh my God, the world is so small, you know, and we're like, yeah, like everyone actually like the same thing, no matter where you are in the world, like everyone, you know, likes the same thing. The kids love biking on the streets, like everyone loves to gather together and have food, you know. Yeah, some things might be different, like the culture or the ways we like to dress, but you know, in the end, I feel like we're all the same, no matter where we are. So I think that was like a beautiful thing to incorporate to my life, you know. Yeah, almost like open up myself to other people and almost incorporate this feeling that we are all the same, you know, like no matter.
It's one of those great paradoxes. It's so big and there's so many different kinds of people and we're all kind of the same.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
I think another thing was like, you know, sometimes you know, you're in a small town or, you know, where you grew up and then you think about your friends and your family and then yourself. And then when you get out there, you're like, you realize how small you are. There is so many people in the world that, you know, I think it's a great thing to experience.
I often feel that way at airports. You know, you get your corner of the world down, but then you sit in some other corner of the world and watch people buzz through it.
Yeah.
And then you realize, wow, there are a lot of people going to a lot of places all the time.
Yes.
If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. My guest today is Sofia Aldino, who is a photographer and documentary filmmaker who was born and raised in Buenos Aires, Argentina. She's currently undertaking a photo essay project about New Mainers, with the aim of breaking down the stigma of refugees as a burden on Maine's social welfare systems. Instead, she and her friend Emily Wiedek seek to celebrate the contributions that New Mainers are making as drivers of our local economies, as well as the value they are bringing to the social fabric of our communities. And what a great idea, Sophia. Can you tell us more about your project that you have, that you're collaborating on? It's called Carried From Home.
Yes. So I think, you know, how I was saying before with the traveling and, you know, the feeling that, you know, you start realizing that we are all, you know, we're all the same no matter where we are. So I think this project was born with the idea of, you know, sometimes like you're walking down the street and you see this person that you maybe realize is an immigrant, or when you talk to me, for example, you immediately realize I'm not from the US because I have an accent. You know, so sometimes like we can make judgments, or we can like, you know, immediately think something about this person just because he's an immigrant or he's a refugee. So I think, you know, having this feeling and, you know, the idea that once you actually get to know the story of this person and why this person is here, you might actually change the way you see these people, or why you get to understand why these people are here. And I think that's how, you know, the idea of how this project was born, yeah, with the idea of sharing other people's story of these New Mainers stories. And, you know, maybe for people that are born and raised in the U.S., get us to understand a little bit better why we're here in Maine.
Yeah, we hear a lot about politics, but it's the stories that connect us.
Yes.
And that's what you're going for. You're looking to use images to depict what kinds of choices individuals make when they're bringing bits of their lives and cultures with them, showing what they carried from home. What kinds of things do you ask people to think about when they're selecting an item to highlight from home that they might have brought with them?
I think I usually ask them, like, you know, sometimes when you move to a new country, you know, you can't really bring your whole house. So I usually ask them, like, what is this special thing that you couldn't really leave behind? And, like, what does it mean for you? And, like, why are you carrying? And I think all of us have at least one thing that we cannot leave behind, you know?
How about for you? What did you bring with?
I think, yeah, I brought a few things, but I think, like, I remember, I haven't owned this for a long time, but something that comes to my mind is, like, in Mexico, my mom gave me this little turtle that she bought there, and I think that's something that, since that, I, you know, carry it with me. And
as
I still
a connection
have
to your mom.
Yeah, you know, and or to my family, and then, or like photos. Photos for me is something that I carry maybe everywhere.
This makes sense for a photographer.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you're hoping to have a traveling photo exhibit of 8 to 10 individuals that are being highlighted. Are you open to working with individuals that might be listening to the show today?
Yeah, of course. Yes.
How might you be able to connect with them or have them connect with you?
So they can actually reach me through my website. I have through my website, I have a contact page, and they can write me an email through there.
Yeah, great. So that's www.sofiaaldinio.com. That'll get you to both her collection of pictures, a couple little documentaries and bios, and the contact page where they can reach you. How long have you been working on this project?
We started in February. Yeah, so we are, you know, we're still like meeting up with people and making interviews and trying to connect with more people. So if anyone is willing to talk to us, we will be very happy to talk to you.
Do you have any examples of the items people have shown you, or are you saving those for the big reveal later?
I can think about this family from Congo that, you know, they brought this book that it was like, it's like a notebook, you know, that you can also keep like your phone numbers. And, you know, he had this for like 40 years. It was like just holding it, you know, it was almost like an antique thing.
Yeah.
It was so cool. Yeah. I think that was like pretty cool. And then like people just maybe like clothing from their country that they use like to go to church, or, you know, necklaces are pretty common in between the ladies.
They travel well.
Yeah.
Can bring more than one, maybe.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So you and Emily are collaborating on this project. How did you two meet, and how did you decide that this would be the project you'd take on for right now?
Emily, this was funny because I met Emily a couple of times before I approached her. But Emily just felt like the right person. I just really had the feeling that I didn't want to do this project all by myself, and I wanted to have a writer on board. And Emily just seemed the right person. It's like you have to, once you meet Emily, you'll understand why. But she's just such not only an amazing writer, but she's a very passionate person. So, yeah, once I approached her and told her about the project, she was like, yeah, let's do it. She was on board with it, and I'm so happy I'm working with her. She's so talented.
And she's a Mainer who's worked abroad as well, hasn't she?
Yes, yes.
So the two of you have covered pretty much all the continents, I think, for living and working. It'll be interesting to see what you come up with. And so your idea is to have a traveling exhibit, is it?
Yes, so that's one of the ideas. We definitely want to have an exhibit, but we are playing with the idea of maybe go around Maine and have a bit of a travel exhibit. And, you know, Portland is a very diverse city, but maybe around Maine is not as diverse as it is in Portland. So we will love to either like go to schools or to the public libraries and have an exhibit there to show other people around Maine, who are these new Mainers.
I think that could really invite some important conversations.
Totally.
Yeah. That's a cool thing to take with the pictures, what you brought from home and what to do with that. I think this is a brilliant idea.
Thank you.
And I wish you well with it.
Thank you.
Yeah. So you have a great vision here, and you bring a lot of skill to it, and your whole worldview of, jump in, don't miss your life, you know, be courageous and follow your dreams. I love it, and I can hardly wait to see when your exhibit takes form what that looks like. Thank you for being my guest today.
Thank you for inviting me.
And thank you all for listening. Please join us each week for similar interviews with diverse members of our community. If you would like to hear this complete interview or interviews from previous weeks, please visit newmainerspeak.com and check out more related information at facebook.com/newmainerspeak. New Mainers Speak is also rebroadcast on Mondays at 4:30 p.m. on WERU-FM in Blue Hill and Bangor area. I'm Kate Manahan in the studio with my guest Sophia Aldenino. Would you be so kind as to introduce the song you've chosen to close today's program?
Yes. So the song is from Gustavo Cerati, and the name of the song is called Bocanada.
Thank you.
Thank you. más que decirnos, habla el humo, nada el humo, y rema en espiral. Cuando no hay más que decirnos, se abren al aire vacíos que dos no pueden respirar para desvanecerse alargando el después. Trayectoria sin final, distante placer de una mirada frente a otra esfumándose. Que decirnos, me hago uno con el humo, serpenteando la razón. De todo aquello decidido, se estira el tiempo y me olvido como dos. Y en la espera vagamos indiferentes por el espacio que dejó para desvanecerse alargando el después. Una historia sin final, de una mirada frente a otra, esfumándose.